This is Jay Sekulow. 337 of the president's nominees still awaiting confirmation in the U.S. Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Many of the agencies just have so many people out there, including diplomats from, as an example, Germany, major countries. We have diplomats. They wait online because the Democrats don't want to approve them, because they want to obstruct. And that's not good. It's never been like this, ever. They've never held them this long. Republicans have never done this to this extent with the Democrats. And Schumer and the Democrats ought to get going, because it's the wrong thing for our country. It's a very terrible thing.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The last couple of weeks, we have been highlighting Senate Democrats' historic efforts to obstruct the ability of the government to function. A stunning 43% of the president's highly qualified nominees are still waiting for confirmation in the Senate. Senator Schumer's tactics have led to 102 fewer confirmations than the next closest administration.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, here's what we got. 337 of the president's nominees are awaiting confirmation in the United States Senate. 32 of them are judges. There are actually two ambassadors, one from Luxembourg and the other for the Federal Republic of Germany, that are on the floor, basically, of the United States Senate. We've got 66 deputy secretaries, undersecretaries, general counsels, chairmen of boards and commissions still waiting. So in total, there are 237 nominations pending in committee. Of those, 143 nominations are for civilian positions, 94 are non-civilian military positions. And, of course, as we mentioned the other day, we've got a G7 country, Germany, that is without a U.S. ambassador right now. Rick Grenell's the nominee. He's extremely well-qualified, had served as a press spokesperson for our mission to the United Nations for years, has a tremendous knowledge and background on international affairs, and his nomination is pending. And so we're trying to figure out, how are we going to shake this loose? I'm with Than Bennett right now in our studios here. And Than, what's your sense? I think people need to understand what's going on.
Well, think about the number that you just gave, Jay. 337 high-level nominees from President Trump that the Senate has an obligation to consider and confirm. Jay, they haven't voted them down. They're just not voting on it. And I would suggest to you there are two layers to this, and one you heard in the open there. There's no question that Senate Democrats are obstructing. They're demanding 30 hours of debate on every one of these nominees. But, Jay, there's another layer here. For some of these folks, they just need to be scheduled. And if the Democrats force 30 hours of debate, well, guess what? They need to debate 30 hours through the weekend. You mentioned Rick Grenell. Guess what? If they did that, he would be confirmed overwhelmingly.
Yeah. So, Jordan, the politics of this are bad because we don't have our full arsenal of diplomatic assets deployed on the field right now, and that's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a kind of two level of nominees here. You have 100 nominees that have gotten through the committee. They are just awaiting the up and down vote on the Senate floor. That is a timing issue. You just have to get those schedules and voted on. They have gotten past what is the most difficult stage usually, which can be that committee stage. If there's anything controversial about them or in their background, that's where that comes up, not on the Senate floor. So you just have to get those scheduled. But then look at that massive number of the next group down, 237 of which haven't gone through that process yet, the more time-consuming process of moving through a committee, which for some of these folks should happen very quickly and sometimes can happen without going through the committee. But ultimately here, so you've got, I think, yes, obstructionism on the left and then the Democrats, but also Republicans unwilling to get the work done and get it scheduled and move on and let these people have an up or down vote on the Senate floor.
Yep. All right, we're going to take your calls on this. And here's the question we're asking. Do you want these appointments to be a top priority? And is this basically a situation where there are members of Congress that are basically filibustering? In a sense, not a traditional filibuster, not allowing these nominees to go forward. We'll take your calls and want your comments on all of this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Huge thank you to our ACLJ members. We met our challenge goal because of your support of the ACLJ. Thank you. Logan's going to let you know how you can engage now with us on air. We'll take your calls and comments. We come back from the break.
That's right. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting live on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow today. And again, get your phone calls in 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I just gave our audience on Facebook a little bit of an update on Pastor Brunson's case. He's, of course, the American pastor who's held in Turkey now for well over a year and a half. We are 2 weeks exactly from the beginning of his trial date. I will tell you that we're working multiple diplomatic angles, bilateral negotiations. Than Bennett, you've been working on this as well. What's your sense? I mean, we obviously, this trial, this isn't a U.S. system of justice, so we've got to approach this both diplomatically and legally, of course, but the diplomatic is going to be where this thing is resolved,
well,
I think.
Yeah, I'll give you two things. One optimistic, one not as optimistic, Jay. The optimistic one is that the new ambassador for religious liberty, Sam Brownback, has been on this, and we've been in regular conversation with him, so he's trying to push the State Department forward on this. But I got to be really honest with you, Jay. These situations are usually resolved by the most senior-level diplomats that the United States have. And if we do not have a Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo is nominated to be the next one, it takes a significant player off the field. So, of course, I have faith that we've been in a lot of these cases, and we want to see him home. We think he will be home one day. But, Jay, that is a major player that needs to be on the field for us to use all of our leverage.
And I tie that in, Jordan, because the fact is we look at the situation, and as I mentioned, you've got the ambassadorship. Rick Grenell has been nominated to be the ambassador of the Federal Republic of Germany. James Randolph Evans to be the ambassador to Luxembourg. Germany is a G7 country, and all these are important. But not being able to have relations at that level, at the ambassadorial level, with your counterpart in Germany, who do for a country that does a lot of trade with Turkey, I mean, all of this plays in, and this stymie we're getting in Congress is just frankly unacceptable, and that's why we've got to break this logjam and exert what we call maximum pressure on the United States Congress. And we do want your comments on that. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan?
Yeah, and those are the two ambassador nominees that have gotten through the committee level and have actually made it to the Senate floor but have not yet had a vote scheduled on their nominations. There's an additional 19 ambassador-level nominations from the State Department. That includes the director of the Office of Foreign Missions, so really the head of all of the different foreign offices we have around the world. That position, it's been named. No action's been taken on that's Stephen Achard. There's a U.S. ambassador to Trinidad and Tobago, to Poland, to Hungary, to Fiji, and some of the other islands there. Australia, the deputy representative to the U.S. to the U.N., and deputy representative to the U.S. to the U.N. Security Council has had no action on. So again, the Security Council, the representative to the Atomic Energy Agency. So again, nuclear, that person has not yet been confirmed. Or and again, directly to the offices of the IAEA. So again, this is not just, as you said, you know, you've got the German, you've got the more, some of these more high-profile places, but you're also not just talking about countries, but also agencies that are ambassador-level appointments where no action is being taken, and so the U.S. is not being fully represented when we can be, easily, by getting a vote up and down on these folks.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 and taking comments in by Facebook as well. Logan, what are you hearing or seeing on social media right now as you monitor it?
Yeah, a lot of people are asking. Deborah just said, how can they even just ignore these positions? A lot of comments like that. Giselle just said the obstruction is infuriating. What can be done? So a lot of people are just saying, what can be done? And how can they even be doing this? How can they even be just ignoring it?
So then it begs the question, and that is, you've got a majority of the United States Senate that's Republican. You would think they'd be able to break this logjam. What is the issue?
Well, honestly, Jay, the Republican leadership needs to force the vote on the high level of these. It is true. Senate Democrats are obstructing. I'll give you two examples. Ambassadors and then military promotions. Jay, an officer who just gets a promotion to the next level, those are typically moved by unanimous consent, and the Democrats are blocking that. So, yes, a lot of the blame certainly lies at the minority in the United States Senate. But let's just say this. Rick Grenell, who's the ambassador to Germany, okay, Democrats are blocking him. What could the majority leader in the Senate do? He could schedule the 30 hours of debate and the vote, Jay. I mean, they leave town for 4 days on a weekend. If the Democrats want to stay here and debate him for 30 hours and lose part of their weekend campaigning, well, then the United States Senate should do that.
Exactly. So we have a petition up at ACLJ.org, and we want you to sign it. It simply says this: apply maximum pressure on Congress to for these key confirmations. So, again, applying maximum pressure on Congress for key confirmations. All right, our phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about these diplomatic issue vacancies. We're talking about Congress. It ties into Andrew Brunson, as we mentioned. We've got calls coming in, again, at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Grant in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Grant, you're on the air.
Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jack. Hey, Jay. Got a question for you. I just want to also thank you guys for all the work you guys do for our country.
Sure.
My question is, these bogus charges that Turkey has put on Pastor Brunson, are these new laws that were in place already prior to him getting arrested, or were these old laws that they're trying to enforce on him?
So a lot of this, and Jordan can address the specifics, but a lot of this came as a result of the so-called coup attempt a few years back, where they basically put in place, they suspended some of the judiciary proceedings, and Pastor Brunson was swept up in this. But when we actually got the indictment and had it translated, they actually say Christianization is part of the crime here because that causes ethnic unrest in the view of Turkey, a NATO ally, by the way. And at the same time, they talk about Israel. They even have Bible references in this. So where they're using this coup as a basis upon which to change the way in which their judiciary functions. I just told a reporter, the fact is you've got to approach this both legally through their legal system, but also diplomatically globally, and that's bilateral or even multilateral negotiations securing his release. Jordan?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so in Turkey, the situation, it's not so much that laws have changed. There is a state of emergency. There's a state of unrest. So that gives the executive more power, and that has been happening. Their legislative branch has been giving the executive more and more power in Turkey. So basically an unchecked executive. But you also saw, even if there are older laws being utilized, like national security laws and state of emergency laws that were already on the books, you do not have an independent judiciary anymore. So the judges who either let it be known that they were opposed to the executive interfering or taking over their separate branch of government have been replaced. Many of those judges have been imprisoned. And the judges who have remained are either unwilling to speak up or are part of the regime directly. So this is a significant change that has happened in Turkey in just the last few years. It is not how you would have seen Turkey even 5 years ago with the court system that was no longer independent, where you could say that very very truthfully and honestly, that is no longer an independent, there's no longer independent branches of government inside Turkey, that the executive has been given so much power. It is basically a one-leader system.
So, then we talk about maximum pressure. I think it's important for our audience to understand what that means.
Well, listen, they've got to feel a political pressure for not doing their job. Remember, they have an obligation under Article 1 of and Article 2 of the Constitution to provide advice and consent to the president. And if they're not going to do that, Jay, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, they should feel the pressure from their voters. And I'll just say this. The first two components of maximum pressure, the president can really do. The military component, he has said he's willing to use force if necessary. He can do most of the economic component. Think about the North Korea sanctions and then the enhanced trade relations with South Korea. But Jay, on the diplomatic front, it is hard to engage with a full throttle diplomacy if you don't have all your players on the team. And the Constitution gives the legislative branch a role in that process. Remember, they're not rejecting these nominees. They're just not considering them.
Yeah. So I think we have to look at the situation here as this is a roadblock. I mean, you could call it whatever you want, but at the end of the day, it is a roadblock. And it's a roadblock we need. You know, we talked about in the diplomatic side, but let's look at judges. Four Circuit Court of Appeals judges are on the Senate floor right now. Two from the Fifth Circuit, one from the Seventh, one from the Tenth. 28 district court judges are pending on the floor right now. And again, Than, let's talk about when it's pending on the floor, what does that mean?
And that's not to count the 23 that are in here in committee waiting for a hearing. But when it's on the floor, Jay, the only thing that is needed for them to assume their seat on the bench is for the Senate to take the vote. So again, I say, if the Senate Democrats don't want to take these votes quickly, well, then the Senate should stay over the weekends and should take the time necessary to debate them and confirm them. Jay, last thing on this. Most of these judges, when they actually come time to vote, pass overwhelmingly. So it's not opposition, it's just stall tactics, and the majority needs to push through that obstruction.
We're going to talk about this delay and what it means for our country, what it means for our judicial system, what it means for us globally when we come back from the break. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, I see we're getting a lot of comments on Facebook, so let's try to address another one of those right now.
Yeah, Mary just said, I feel like Congress is ignoring our wishes. Bob says, why are they holding up military promotions? It feels shameful. And a lot of people are just commenting, what can they do? So a lot of comments coming in like that. But it does feel like, as Mary said, that they are ignoring the wishes of the people.
Well, that's what we're going to address when we come back. And we are the people. So, and our audience are the people. So we want you to sign on to this petition we have, which is applying maximum pressure on Congress. Get the job done that you were elected for. Elections have consequences on both sides. So you are the majority. Act like it. Take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. You could also contact us via Facebook and Twitter as well. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We're going to look at some more of these in depth and also what it means for our country. Jordan's going to let you know also you can still support the ACLJ as we continue on for this month's matching challenge. March and April, big month for the ACLJ.
Yeah, that's at ACLJ.org. You can double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org, and sign our new petition demanding maximum pressure on Congress to confirm these nominees. That's at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Too many vacancies. Too many nominations being held. Too many nominations being stalled. We got to get action. We got to get action from the United States Senate. We encourage you to not only sign our petition on maximum pressure on Congress, but also call the Speaker, the Majority Leader's office, and Than's going to give you that number. And be respectful, because that's the way you can engage. But let them know you want to see these. This is an issue for the American people. We're concerned about this. And Than's going to give you that number right now.
You can call the switchboard at 202-224-3121. I would ask for the Leader McConnell, and just say, look, if the Democrats are going to continue obstructing, we want you to work through the weekend to confirm more of these nominees. And, Jay, once you're done with that call, I would suggest you talk to your senator as well. You have two of them. Again, 202-224-3121. And just ask them to stay in town until these high-level nominees are confirmed.
Now, we have a good relationship with these offices, so this is just getting it as a priority. So if they hear from you, it'll be viewed as a priority. All right, Logan, let's go. We got phone calls coming in. We're taking those at 800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Good. Dave in New York on line 3. You're on the air, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Got a question. I'm a northern neighbor. I'm from Canada, so I don't understand a lot of your rules and laws. But if these guys are all a shoe-in, what's to stop them from taking office and starting their job while they're waiting for the official vote?
Because you can only do that if you are a recess appointment, and that's not the way you want to do these. These need to be long-term appointments through the confirmation process. So you can do recess appointments, but frankly, you know, my view is, Jordan, that that's a last resort. You don't start off with that proposition.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for some of these, obviously, there are political appointees that serve only at the pleasure of the president, and so you need to get them in place quickly, because you're already, again, we're already past a year into this presidency. These are positions like general counsel at the Department of Defense, the lead attorney for the entire Defense Department. That is vacant. There is a nominee pending. I mean, so that they've gotten through, that means the stage of going through the committee, they just have to get a vote scheduled. That is a major position, the principal deputy undersecretary of defense. So for General Mattis, I mean, these people need to be in place to get a fully functioning Department of Defense. It's not just being run by bureaucrats, because you've got to have people that buy into the policies of the administration that the American people elected based on the policies that they campaigned on. I mean, that is the truth. That's why you call them political appointees, not because they're running for office, but because they actually endorse and support the policies that put forward by the president that the American people elected, that they campaigned on.
And while the president has the authority, if there is in fact a recess, to make recess appointments, that's not where you want to go first. As I say, Than, that's more of a last resort.
Well, yeah, because they're temporary. And I just wanted to add this to what Jordan was saying. When you mentioned the number 337, Jay, those are the highest level, because those are the ones that require Senate confirmation. The president gets to appoint people that don't require Senate confirmation. Right. These are the 337 people who are supposed to be running the government. That's who stalled.
Yeah, and right, we also have judges. That's an important point. So we have those who serve as political appointees, so at the pleasure of the president, but we also have 32 federal judges who get lifetime appointments. And again, I think it's important to point out that those 32 that we're talking about, 4 for the Court of Appeals, 28 at the district court level, have all gone through committee. They are just awaiting scheduled votes. I mean, that is, again, for lifetime appointments, they've gotten through the toughest hurdle for any judicial nominee. They just need an up or down vote.
So, Logan, I'm looking at some of the comments coming in on social media, and the frustration level is pretty clear. I mean, people are really frustrated.
Oh, yeah, people are. You know, a lot of people just say, why don't the Senate just do their jobs? That's from Becky. They shouldn't be allowed home until they finish their work. That's from Michelle. So a lot of people commenting things like that right now, just frustrated and furious.
All right, we want your reaction to this on air as well. 1-800-684-3110. Do you think Congress is doing their job or not doing their job here? 1-800-684-3110. So, Than, let's walk people through when someone is, in fact, through the committee and on the floor what is supposed to happen if things were operating correctly.
Leader McConnell would call him up for consideration. If there was no objection, the vote would happen very, very quickly, sometimes by unanimous consent. Sometimes the vote would just immediately take place. Usually it's an overwhelming approval, especially for most of these ambassador spots. Jay, where you run into problems is if the majority insist on their rights under the rules to debate that nominee for 30 hours. Now, two things on that. Number one, if they want to debate through the weekend and take that time up, then fine. The Senate should stay in town longer. But number two, Jay, there is nothing in the Constitution that requires each of these nominees to be debated for 30 hours. They could shrink that time down to whatever number they picked. It would be fully constitutional to close that debate down and have the vote. And when that 30 hours is running, Jay, almost never is someone talking. Usually the Senate floor is empty and nothing is happening.
So we got an interesting comment, Logan. I don't know if you have it, from Lisa on Facebook. And this is it. I'm sure people are thinking about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, she said, would the nuclear option be helpful here?
Don't need it. I mean, this is the problem. We don't need the nuclear. I call it the constitutional option. But you don't even need that, Dan.
Not at all. All of these nominees are now only subject to a 50-vote threshold. Both Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell lowered that level from 60 down to 50. All of these nominees only require 50. You don't have to go to the nuclear or constitutional option. You only have to get 50 votes.
And Jordan, I think that's part of the frustration here. Yeah. And what we're trying to point at is it's not where you have to do some kind of special moves within Senate rules to get this done. You just got to get it done.
Yeah, and you don't have to convince, 10 Democrats to vote this way. Like Thansa, you just start the clock and maybe look at one possible change could be looking at the rule on the 30 hours and trying to shorten that, because it's not a constitutional requirement. It's a rule by the Senate that, as Thans said, that it just is an empty Senate floor where they have to take the clock down for 30 hours. But I think some of those tactics, look at the weekends, look at times when the Democrats are kind of itching to get back on a campaign trail and get back to their home states or districts, and in the Senate's case, their home states, and force them to stay in Washington, D.C. to vote on all 337. If they want to invoke that every time, listen, it's going to be at their peril in a U.S. Senate race much more often this year than it would be Republicans because they are having to hold a lot of seats. So you've got incumbents that are taking it most seriously, who could be stuck in Washington. They're not going to be itching to have to spend their entire week or weeks in Washington, D.C. I think we have to take this final week of their recess this week while Congress is out to really build the pressure here at a grassroots level, like we haven't done in a while. I think when it goes directly to Congress to get action on all 337, and that's why we've got the new petition up at ACLJ.org that people, we just put it up this morning as we kind of start the new week post-holiday, but Congress is still out, so we've got a week to kind of get this together and deliver it to Congress as soon as they return to Washington, D.C. next Monday.
So the petition simply says this: apply maximum pressure on Congress for key confirmations, and we talk about in the petition, we've got international threats, we've got the situation I referenced with Pastor Brunson, and getting the ambassador for Turkey, for Germany confirmed, who has relations with Turkey, their counterparts do, would be critical. So we don't have our full assets deployed. That's really what this is about. So this is the time, in my view, that we take the action. We've got a petition up at ACLJ.org. The United States doesn't have a confirmed Secretary of State yet, or as far as what we're waiting for. Do we have a date on that one yet?
The chairman, Senator Corker, has said it will be in April. That's as clear as we have.
So we've got that situation. We've got threats in North Korea, Iran. We got situation with China. An American pastor being wrongly held in Turkey. We need our full diplomatic corps in there. We could do that at ACLJ.org if you sign the petition. Logan's going to let you know how you get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station, some stations carry the full hour, some do not. If you do not, or you want to change up your experience, you can find us broadcasting live video as well on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, and Twitter @JaySekulow, and ACLJ.org. Archive later on the ACLJ app and the Jay Sekulow Life podcast. We'll be taking your calls and comments for another half hour. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. at the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you are just joining us, 337. You heard that number right. 337 of President Trump's nominees are awaiting confirmation in the U.S. Senate. 100 of those, and it's interesting that we're right on that number of 100. 100 of these nominations are pending on the floor. That means they've gotten through the most difficult process, usually in any kind of confirmation, when you have to move through at a committee level where they've got to have a hearing and you may have to answer questions. They're digging into your background, or if you're a judicial nominee, that's, again, when those issues are raised. The 100 of these 337 already cleared that most difficult step. They're just awaiting a basic up or down vote on the Senate floor. There's no more 60-vote threshold anymore. They just have to get 50 votes. The vice president can come and cast the 51st vote. So, again, no excuse on either side of the aisle not to get these votes scheduled and have the up or down vote. And, again, if people don't make it through, at least you've got time to then nominate someone else if there's really that much concern about one of these nominees. But let me tell you, in the non-100 that have already moved through, you have some high-profile folks, including, by the way, the Secretary of State nominee, who is currently the director of the CIA, Mike Pompeo. We're heading towards a showdown diplomatically, you know, sitting at the table or hosting a meeting with the leader of North Korea and our president, the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world. And there is no Secretary of State. And there's no one on the calendar yet. They've got to go through, Mike Pompeo would have to go through the hearings and then get a vote in the committee and then get a vote on the Senate floor. And that, again, is one what it's like for those 227 who have not yet gotten through the process where they are waiting confirmation. But you look at someone like Rick Grenell. So you're talking about a G7 country, really usually is what's rated as one of the sixth or seventh most powerful countries in the world, the number one economy in Europe, the ambassador nominee to Germany. And he's made it through the first stage. He is just awaiting a vote on the Senate floor. And that just takes 50 votes in the U.S. Senate, and you can have the vice president cast that 51st vote. So there's no excuses on either side of the aisle. They missed their opportunities to take these nominees if they were one of those 100 down at the committee level. And so they've made it through to the Senate floor. Now they have a chance to vote, up or down vote. This is the work of Congress. And, Than, I think that they have really no excuses now. They got the budget moved through. This is now they need to get back to work on these issues. That this is specific to the U.S. Senate that they are responsible for. It's one of their constitutional duties is to get these positions filled by advice and consent.
No question about it. This is not the opening days of the administration anymore, Jordan. They have had a long time to vet most of these nominees. In the case of Rick Grenell, who you were just highlighting, Jordan, he's been pending for 7 months, and he actually went through committee consideration twice because he had to be renominated at the beginning of the year when the new Congress sat. So he's been really put through the ringer. And honestly, yes, while there are a few other legislative items that become must pass, I would suggest you handle those during the 2 or 3 days that you're here anyway. And when it comes to the end of the week, Jordan, these nominees that are at the level of the ambassadorships or the Secretary of State when he's ready, they should be put on the calendar, and then the Democrats can choose. They can either stay and work through the weekend, like is their constitutional obligation, obligation to provide consideration to these nominees. Or, Jordan, they could shrink that debate time, have the vote either up or down, and then they could go home and campaign. But really, those are the only two options that Senate Republicans should be giving them at this point.
We come back, we will walk through some of the other vacancies and take your phone calls. So we're going to start taking those phone calls right away. We come back on the broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell people how to stay involved in the show in our second half hour. And again, encourage them to go to ACLJ.org, sign that new petition.
That's right. You can do that. Also, exclusive videos coming up in the break. But 1-800-684-3110, you can sign that petition on ACLJ.org. We can also watch our show as well as on social media. So you can get your comments in that way on Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter. But again, exclusive videos coming out the break. If you watch online, just a fun fact, if you don't watch online, we don't go to break. We either play exclusive videos or we keep the conversation going. That's at ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, or Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're about to get to the phones. We've highlighted Rick Riddell, the nominee to be ambassador to Germany, James Randolph Evans, the nominee to be ambassador to Luxembourg. Those are two U.S. ambassadors who have been nominated by President Trump, made it through the committee stage of their confirmation in the U.S. Senate, but have not yet had a vote scheduled for their nomination. There are also 66 deputy secretaries, undersecretaries, general counsels, members and chairs of boards and commissions, including at the Department of State, two ambassadors, two undersecretaries at the Department of Defense, a principal deputy undersecretary, and a general counsel. In agriculture, there's two confirmed spots vacant, four at Department of Labor, five at Department of Education, one at DOT, the Department of Transportation, one at Commerce, two at Housing and Urban Development. And remember, as Dan said, when you talk about two, three, four, five people inside a government agency, these are the four or five people who literally run the agency on behalf of the President of the United States. You're not saving anything in the budget by not getting these positions filled. And the President has nominated people to fill these positions. So they are there available for committee hearings and ultimately votes. We've got to take action here. And go a little deeper. Get past the kind of the agencies of the federal government. And so, I mean, the kind of cabinet positions and the departments that they run. The Federal Reserve System, there's two vacancies. On the Amtrak Board of Directors, there's a vacancy right now. On the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, there's a vacancy now. You go through, again, you're talking about, we as we said, there's nominees even for places like the IAEA, so in nuclear regulatory, we've seen the problems with some of our infrastructure when it comes to the trains and Amtrak. You've got vacancies there, and the people have been nominated. So it's not that President Trump has not taken the action to get these people names to Congress. There was an early criticism that maybe that was happening too slow in the administration. That's no longer the case. These are 337 vacancies with people who have been appointed to fill them. 100 of those 337 have already cleared the, I would say, the toughest stage in the U.S. Senate confirmation process, which is getting through the more specialized committee and the committee hearings. But Logan, I want to go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110 and take some calls.
Go to Bill in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on line 3. Bill, welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, and first of all, I'd like to wish you a belated happy Easter.
Thank you.
Now to the phone call. I just signed your petition, but I do have a question on this and the fact that could this also be a veiled hint about their tenure in office since this is a midterm year?
I don't think so. Listen, these are appointments, again, that if you're their party in charge, you would want to see filled because it's kind of, if you don't fill them, you're not getting the fully functioning U.S. government, especially from the policy side of the people who are there to implement the policies of the president. And those are policies that generally the Republican leadership would agree with in the broadest sense of the when you're describing the policies. And certainly they're aligned with the Republican Party platform. So this is the leader of the Republican Party as the president of the United States. But then on the Democrat side, certainly they would love to see this go on and on and on, and then hope that they take back potentially the Senate, even by a couple of votes, which would kind of moot out the vice president's ability to vote in the U.S. Senate. And then they could really keep obstructing these nominees. I mean, it's much easier now than it could be in 6 months. Maybe it won't be more difficult, but that's a huge political risk to take by not just taking the simple action of a vote.
Yeah, I think there's blame to allocate on both sides of the aisle, Jordan. But the blame on the Democrat side of the aisle is really, frankly, what you would expect. Because, look, they are clearly just wasting time. They are just obstruction. There is no valid reason. And the proof of that is the fact that almost all of these get an overwhelming majority when they're voted on. But, Jordan, they're looking to take the chamber back so that they have control when these votes come up. And quite frankly, if it means that the deep state or the bureaucracy runs itself without people leading these agencies, that's a win for Democrats. So you would sort of expect that out of them. What I don't expect is what we're seeing out of Senate Republicans, letting Senate Democrats and their own members go back to campaign in the middle of a Thursday when nominations haven't been processed. Jordan, again, we've said it many times, they should stay as long as it takes to consider a reasonable number for that week. And if it means staying through the weekend to do their job, so be it. Republicans can control that.
All right, let's keep going with phone calls. Let's go to Steve in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You're on the air, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
We're good.
I'm really tired of the obstructionist things coming out of the left. It's been happening for a long time. This is nothing but delaying the whole process. The Republicans that are not going along with doing the vote, they need to go too. It's that simple. I tried calling the phone number that you gave me from McConnell's office, and you get a message that the switchboard is overwhelmed with calls right now, and you can't even leave a message.
Yeah, well, that's likely because we gave out that number to
millions of people.
And again, it's 202-224-3121, which is the Capitol switchboard, Than, that people can contact. And we're asking them, again, to be polite about it. But, yeah, walk them through that number for our radio audience. Is that the right number? Did I just give the right number?
Yeah, 202-224-3121. And, Jordan, I just add one thing. That if it's shut down or McConnell's office is not taking calls right now, that's exactly what we want.
Yeah.
You want it to be swamped so that they aren't taking the call. It gets their attention. And, by the way, we can reach them. I'll have a conversation with them later. They may not be thrilled that we're shutting down their phone lines, but that's okay. It will get the attention and will make them understand that the American people want these votes scheduled.
I mean, we're talking about members of our armed forces, Than, because a significant amount of these are 94 nominations that are called non-civilian. That means that they are members of the armed forces. 94, 58 in the U.S. Navy, 13 in the Army, 3 in the Coast Guard, 6 in the Marine Corps, 14 in the Air Force. These are nominations that, again, are those who have served our country with honor and distinction, and so they're being elevated. And yet even those members of our military are being used as a political chip here. And so these are non-civilian. These are military appointments to the next next rank, next office for people who have served our country, and they're not getting action on their nominations.
Jordan, it's essentially military officers up for promotion. And I'll just tell you, the way this normally happens is the Senate Armed Services Committee kicks them out quickly, and then the Senate grants those promotions by unanimous consent. So it's sort of a pro forma action to comply with the constitutional requirement. But, you know, they haven't been pending as long as some of the others. But quite frankly, any delay in a earned military promotion is too much of a delay. That one is particularly shameful.
1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, in our last segment's coming up as well, we just continue to take phone calls. We got a couple lines open for you right now, folks. We want your thoughts. Who is to blame? Republicans, Democrats, a little of both in the U.S. Senate for the fact that 337 people have been nominated for positions in our federal government are awaiting confirmation, 100 of which have gotten through the committee stage but have not yet gotten a full up or down vote on the U.S. Senate floor. But think about that. It means there's 237 where the process really hasn't started. They've been nominated by President Trump, so there's no more really action he can take. He puts them forward. Obviously, we can turn up the pressure on Congress. They return in 1 week. We've got a petition at ACLJ.org demanding action from Congress. That's at ACLJ.org, a maximum pressure campaign on Congress to get these vacancies filled now. Whether you're talking about someone like Rick Grenell, who is awaiting that Senate floor vote for many months to be ambassador to Germany, or in someone newly nominated like Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State, because you needed acting Secretary of State. They've got to go through the committee hearing, then the vote on the floor. He's currently already the CIA director, so it should be a pretty quick process. He's already gone through this once before already in this administration with the same makeup of the U.S. Senate. And yet still you see the delay. And we're heading towards a North Korea time diplomatically. We're heading towards a lot of major events. So as we go into this break, if you're on the lines, hang on the line. We will get to your phone call right when we get back, and we'll go by order. So those of you who, again, are hanging on, like Darlene and Peter, we will take your calls first when we come back from this break. I really want to encourage people to sign this new petition at ACLJ.org. This is brand new. And we need to put pressure on Congress. We cannot have these vacancies continue this way and expect that we're going to have a fully functioning government. President Trump has nominated individuals, men and women, to take these positions. Whether you're talking about Secretary of State, CIA Director, members of the Atomic Energy Agency, or, I mean, all of these are very important for our U.S. government and to have a fully functioning administration where the policies are being implemented from the top for the people that the American people actually voted for and the policies that they voted for. So go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition. Again, ACLJ.org. You can also be part of a matching challenge where you double the impact of your donation. That's also, again, online at ACLJ.org. Logan, phone lines are pretty full right now, but we're also taking comments on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Get your comments in now. It's Facebook.com/JSekulow or Periscope. Search for JSekulow. Broadcasting live there right now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. This will be the last segment of the day, and this is when we like to take as many calls as possible at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem, and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So without anybody yet, no emails going out yet, and just getting this information out since the start of the broadcast today, if you're listening to the broadcast live when we do this show, we've had already 879 people sign on to the petition. That is purely through grassroots, either hearing about it on the show, seeing it on some social media like where we're broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. But that means I've been talking to thousands of you just on Facebook right now, I know. And that means many of you have not yet gone to aclj.org and signed that petition. You can do it right now. You could keep the show on, open up a new window, go to aclj.org, sign that petition. It takes about a minute. So by the time I get to the first call, which I'm about to do, and go to Logan, you can sign the petition to apply maximum protection pressure on Congress for key confirmations at aclj.org. We've got about a week. This is a petition directly to the U.S. Senate and the Senate leadership, both on both sides of the aisle, to get this done, to have the votes done on the 337 nominees, get those moving, the 237 through committee, but also the 100 who have already gone through committee, get them votes on the Senate floor. And so in that amount of time, you could have signed that petition easily, maybe twice even, at aclj.org. For those of you, again, who can access a computer or do it on your phone right now, that's aclj.org. Sign that petition. Logan, let's get to the phones.
All right, let's go in order. Let's go to Peter on line one of Missouri. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call. My understanding is on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, one of the more prolific judges passed away over the weekend, Judge Reinhardt.
Yeah.
And I understand, I think there's three openings now in that Ninth Circuit for Trump, President Trump, to have the opportunity to make those nominations and get him on that court and turn that thing around. I was curious as to, with all this stonewalling by Congress, what are the chances of that happening?
Well, I think, listen, if you can't get the four circuit court judges, like for the Fifth Circuit, two are for the Fifth Circuit, one for the 7th, one for the 10th. If you can't get those confirmed, it makes the 9th, which is more contentious because, as you know, it's known as the kind of most overturned, and even if that's not always accurate now, it's very far to the left, and that's why you see a lot of lawsuits filed against this administration out in California and places that are also in the 9th Circuit, because you know you have a very good chance of getting before a pretty liberal judge. That's just how it's been made up. There are actually 7 vacancies on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So those nominees, again, I think that the administration keeps putting forward people so that they've got judges that have already gone through the process at the committee level. Than I don't think the issue is really right now is not the Trump administration not putting enough people forward. It's like, how many more people are you going to put forward if there's not action on the 337 that are already hanging out there? Because as you said, if there's not action taken, they have to go back through a process. I mean, explain that to people.
Yeah, if a new Congress sits, so when the calendar turned over this year, Jordan, those nominations had to be resubmitted to the Senate, reconsidered in committee, and sent on to the floor. Let me describe it for you this way. I think the 100 that we're talking about that are on the Senate floor, Jordan, all of those are going to get confirmed. If there is a problem with a nominee, that generally comes out during the hearing process, which is why you've been describing it as the most difficult process now, or part of the process. I would tell you that there are very, very few of the 237 who are in committee that will ultimately not be confirmed. But the 100 that we're talking about on the floor of the Senate, Jordan, those are all going to be confirmed. It's a matter of when, not if. And frankly, the party that controls the when is not the Democrats, it's the Republicans. They need to put those up for a vote and force the Democrats to take the vote.
All right, folks. Yeah, let's get right back to the phones.
Darlene, California, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Longtime listener and supporter. Just want to let you know that I actually did sign the petition as well as shared it on several pro-President Trump Facebook pages, and I encourage others to do the same. I did call the – I could not get through the congressional switchboard, so I got the phone number for Mitch McConnell's Kentucky office. I called there. I actually got a live person. I told them why I was calling, and they hung up on me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it may just be that they've got so many calls coming in. They're not – sometimes it's interns. Sometimes – I mean, Congress is out this week. Their offices are staffed, though, Than. I think that it just shows you I think you take the high road when you're talking to these staffs, and it gets circulated around the office very quickly in these congressional offices about what people are calling about it. And again, it doesn't take a lot of phone calls to start causing that kind of action. But if you keep it up throughout the day, they kind of know you're serious then.
And I think it's a good thing that phone lines are melting down. I would start with the D.C. office because that is the staff that will be handing the nominations. But I like what the caller did. If you don't get somebody there, call your district office of your senator. And, Jordan, the other thing I would say, you're going to see these senators this week when they're back in your state or back in your district. Go see them. Make this a topic of conversation at the town halls. Anywhere you can get their ear to make them understand that this is a priority, that will help.
All right, so we're already at 1,146 signatures on this petition before any emails have gone out. So keep signing it at ACLJ.org. Keep sharing it with friends and family and your social media networks at ACLJ.org. Maximum Pressure on Congress is the title of the petition. Sign it today.
Let's go to Patricia on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Patricia.
Yes, hello. My question is this, or maybe you can help clarify. You said McConnell can actually make the Republicans stay there to come to a decision or make a confirmation of all these appointees. Is that correct?
He can make the Senate stay there. So not just Republicans, but the Democrats as well. But, yeah, that's right.
So does it only take 50 to confirm? Because I'm trying to understand how many does it take.
Okay, so you need 50 votes from U.S. senators. So that could be any makeup you want. It could be all Republican. It could be Republican with a couple of Democrats. And obviously, this is the minimum you need. So you need 50. The vice president can come in as president of the Senate. The vice president has that role as president of the Senate. And if the vote is necessary to break a tie or deadlock, they can cast the 51st vote. So you don't need to get through those hurdles of cloture where you need 60 votes. None of that comes into play here. That is all gone out the window. On these nominees, you just need 50 U.S. senators plus the vice president, and these people would be in position.
All right, let's quickly go to Maggie in New Jersey on line five. Maggie, last call of the day.
Hey, Maggie.
Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I'm curious as to what recourse, if any, does the American taxpayer have for this obstruction that's going on? I mean, clearly it's our taxes that are funding the government, and why can't work be done on our behalf? Is there any?
Yeah.
We can do.
Yeah, this is what you can do. Vote. I mean, that's a big part of this. You elect these. We elect, not just you, May. We all elect who represent us in the U.S. Senate. Each of us in each state we live in gets two U.S. senators. So we elect them. We vote on both of those. And we all live in a congressional district that has got someone who is up in the House of Representatives up for reelection this term. So you've got to exercise that ability in November. Don't forget about this when you go to the ballot box, and encourage, get activated, because this is a time when you can really remember, was your senator doing the right thing? There's primaries still going on right now. Is your incumbent, regardless of what party they're from, doing the work that you want to do? Or you maybe want to look at a challenger to an incumbent in a primary. Again, I think that is a key way. It's these members of Congress, in the Senate, and in the House of Representatives work for you. It's why we've got our brand new petition, Maximum Pressure on Congress, to take action on the 337 nominees President Trump has nominated with their advice and consent power in the U.S. Senate. Go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition today. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.